Welcome back, everyone. Today we're doing a deep dive into building and scaling sales teams.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. We are exploring Mark Roberge's The Sales Acceleration Formula.
Yeah, he was the mastermind behind HubSpot's incredible sales growth.
And you know what makes this even more interesting?
What's that?
He took HubSpot sales from zero to $100 million run rate
Wow.
using an engineer's analytical, data-driven mindset.
An engineer.
Yeah, he applied that to the art of selling.
That's remarkable how Roberge, with that background, engineering,
Right.
brought this unique perspective to sales,
Yeah.
which led to HubSpot's crazy growth.
It really is amazing.
Yeah.
So we'll uncover what he actually did, the actionable steps,
Yeah.
and we'll start with how he built HubSpot's sales hiring formula.
Okay.
So instead of giving like generic advice,
Right.
Roberge actually provides a blueprint
No.
for building your ideal sales hiring formula.
Okay.
So it's not like a one-size-fits-all solution,
Gotcha.
but the process itself is universal.
That makes sense.
And it can be adapted to any company.
So true. And Roberge's four-step process is a great place to start.
Okay, tell me more about that.
So he says you got to define the ideal characteristics, right?
Right.
Figure out how to evaluate candidates based on those characteristics and then score them
Yeah.
based on their performance in those evaluations.
Okay.
And then, the most important part, iterate on the whole thing
Oh, interesting.
based on what you see.
And he even shares a story about his early hiring mishaps at HubSpot,
Oh no.
where he brought in these top performers from other companies
Okay.
and they totally flopped.
Oh wow, that must have been tough.
Yeah, that must have been a really hard lesson to learn.
Yeah, it really shows how important it is to understand your sales context
Right.
because what works for one company
Yeah,
might not work for another one.
totally.
And Roberge, he learned he needed to hire salespeople
Yeah.
who are the right fit for HubSpot.
For their specific product, customer base, sales
I talk.
process. So it's not just about hiring a sales superstar. It's
Yeah.
about finding someone who's
Right.
the right fit
The right fit.
for your situation.
Yeah.
So did he eventually find the magic formula for HubSpot?
He did. After analyzing what really made a salesperson successful at HubSpot,
Okay.
he found five key traits
Okay.
that consistently predicted success:
All right, let's hear them.
coachability,
Okay.
curiosity, prior success, intelligence,
Okay.
and work ethic.
Makes sense.
All very important.
Now, coachability,
Yeah.
that seems like it'd be super important
Right.
for a company like HubSpot.
Especially since they were, pioneering
Yeah.
inbound marketing.
Right,
Yeah,
exactly.
that was a big factor.
Because their sales process was always evolving.
Always evolving as the company grew.
Yeah.
They needed people who were willing to adapt.
To embrace these new ideas.
Learn, adapt, yeah.
Yeah.
And Roberge, he actually developed a really clever role-playing exercise
Oh, interesting.
during the interview process
Oh, wow.
to test their coachability
Oh, that's so smart.
right then and there.
So, how did he assess the other traits
Yeah.
like curiosity
Yeah.
and intelligence?
Yeah.
Because those can be harder to measure. You
Yeah.
can't just,
Can't just give them a test yet,
Really?
right?
Exact. So for curiosity, he looked at the types of questions candidates asked.
Okay.
Were they asking insightful questions?
Oh.
Were they really trying to understand
Yeah.
the prospect's needs and challenges?
Digging deeper.
Digging deeper, exactly.
Okay.
For intelligence, he got creative.
Oh, how so?
He'd send candidates articles on
Right.
like inbound marketing, SEO, social media, and
Yeah.
then he'd weave those topics into the interview.
Wow, so he was sneakily
Sneakily,
testing them.
yeah, giving them a sneak peek into HubSpot's training,
Yeah.
but also, assessing them.
And seeing if they could
Yeah.
grasp it.
It sounds like he was really trying to get like
A holistic view.
a holistic view, yeah.
Yeah, he was going beyond the resume,
Going beyond the resume, yeah.
not just the sales numbers.
So when it came to assessing prior success,
Yeah.
he didn't just take their track record at face value.
No, he didn't.
No.
No, he dug into the details.
Like, how so?
Like, okay, what was their ranking on the team? What metrics were they measured on?
Okay.
And he called their references and say,
Yeah.
can you verify what they're saying is true?
Wow, that's a level of scrutiny I think a lot of companies probably overlook.
I think so too.
So now that we have this hiring formula, right? We
Oh,
know what we're looking for. Where
yeah.
do we find these talented individuals?
That's where things get interesting.
Okay.
Roberge, he really emphasizes a passive recruiting strategy.
Okay.
He recognizes that the best salespeople,
Yeah.
they're rarely actively looking for a job.
So you're not just going to post a job
right.
and wait.
Exactly.
You have to be more proactive.
Proactive, yeah.
Seek out the talent.
He says, take a page from recruiting agencies.
Okay.
You know, actively source candidates.
Yeah.
And reach out to people who aren't even on the market.
Interesting.
He actually built a recruiting agency within HubSpot.
Oh, wow.
To proactively source talent.
Did he have any other, like, creative tactics for finding these passive candidates?
Oh, yeah. He had a bunch.
Okay.
One of his favorites was the forced referral technique.
Okay.
So he'd sit down with each team member.
Okay.
And say, give me five names of the best salespeople you know.
Okay.
And it forced them to think beyond their immediate circle.
Yeah.
Tapping into a wider network.
So it's like you're creating
a network of talent scouts.
Yeah, within your own company.
Exactly.
That's great.
Another technique he used
okay.
was strategically interviewing people
okay.
from companies known for strong sales cultures.
Oh, so even if they weren't a perfect fit for HubSpot.
Even if they weren't a perfect fit.
What was the point of that?
It was like a reconnaissance mission.
Oh, okay.
He was gathering intel about competitors.
I see.
He'd ask questions like, how does your company compensate its salespeople?
Oh, okay.
What's their sales training like?
Yeah.
He was trying to find the best practices.
Yeah.
And maybe identify any weaknesses in his own approach.
So we've got our hiring formula, our creative sourcing techniques.
Mm.
But what about startups just getting started?
Right.
Who should their first sales hire be?
Robert actually addresses this directly.
Okay.
Instead of going for like a seasoned VP of sales.
Right.
He suggests considering an entrepreneur.
An entrepreneur.
Yeah.
As your first sales hire.
As your first sales hire.
That's interesting.
Yeah, he really thinks.
Really an entrepreneur.
Because early stage companies.
Yeah.
They're still trying to find product market fit.
Right.
And he thinks an entrepreneur.
Someone who's built things from scratch.
Someone who's scrappy.
Yeah.
Is best suited for that stage.
Yeah.
Because they can contribute to the product.
Yeah.
But also sell it.
So it's less about closing deals.
Right.
At that point.
Yeah.
It's more about
figuring out what works.
Yeah, and getting that feedback,
yes.
right, into the product development process.
He actually has a great quote about this.
Okay, what is it?
He says, the most critical value from your first sales hire
yeah.
comes not from the first customers or revenue,
right,
but from her ability to accelerate the company
mm-hmm.
toward product market fit.
Oh, I love that.
It's a really good quote.
It is.
So think about your own company.
Yeah.
What stage are you at?
Mm-hmm.
What type of first sales hire
yeah.
would be most valuable?
That's a great question for our listeners to think about.
Yeah.
So we've talked about finding and hiring the right people.
Yes.
Now let's talk about training them.
Oh.
How do we do that?
Well, Robert, he's not a fan of the ride-along approach.
Where you just shadow a top performer?
Just shadow. He says we need to build a scalable sales training formula.
Oh, yeah.
That's based on a defined sales methodology.
So instead of mimicking one person's style,
exactly,
you're learning a structured approach.
A structured approach.
That can be adapted.
That can be adapted
yeah.
to your individual strength.
Does he break down
he does.
The elements of a successful sales methodology?
He does. And that's where we'll pick things up next time.
Okay, great. I'm excited to hear more about that.
Me too. All right, so picking up where we left off.
Yeah.
Roberge outlines these core elements of a successful sales methodology.
Okay.
So first, he emphasizes mapping out the buyer journey.
Oh, okay.
Which means you got to understand, you know, those steps a customer takes.
Yeah.
From the moment they're aware of their problem
right.
all the way to the point of making that purchase decision.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So by anticipating their needs and concerns
right.
at each of those stages,
yeah.
salespeople can offer more, like, tailored guidance.
Instead of just hitting them with the same pitch?
Yeah, that generic pitch.
Right.
You meet them where they are.
Makes a lot of sense.
In their buying journey.
What's the next element?
All right. Next, you got to define the sales process itself.
Okay.
So that means creating a clear system
yeah.
that guides salespeople on how to interact with prospects.
Mm-hmm.
Move them through that buyer journey. And that system, it brings consistency, helps salespeople stay organized.
Right.
Keeps them focused.
Yeah, like a repeatable system.
And predictability.
Efficiency.
Yeah. So as your team grows.
Yeah, as you scale.
It's crucial.
Totally.
Okay, what about the final element? The qualifying matrix.
Yeah, this is where you got to separate the wheat from the chaff.
Okay.
Determine which leads are worth pursuing.
Right.
So while that classic BANT framework.
Legit, authority, need, timing.
You got it.
Yeah.
That's a good starting point.
Okay.
He suggests adapting it.
Oh, okay.
To fit your unique sales context.
So not one size fits all.
Not at all.
You have to figure out what criteria are most important.
For your business.
For your specific company.
Yeah. Okay. So once you have those three elements in place,
okay,
the buyer journey, the sales process, the qualifying matrix,
right,
now you've got a solid foundation
yeah.
for building that training curriculum.
Oh, I see.
So much more structured and scalable.
Yeah, definitely than just shadowing someone.
Than just shadowing.
Right.
Totally.
Gives those new hires that clear understanding from the start.
Yeah. No more guesswork.
But how did Roberge ensure that his salespeople actually like absorbed and applied this training?
So to add even more structure and accountability,
okay,
Roberge, he actually implemented exams.
Oh, wow.
And certifications.
Really?
Yeah.
So he would test.
Test them on their knowledge.
The product, the sales process.
The product, buyer journey.
Yeah.
You know, the whole thing.
And if they passed?
If they passed.
They got certified.
Certified. Ah, that's pretty cool.
It showed they mastered different stages of the sales process.
I like that.
As a little gamification.
It does. And it gives you a way to measure.
To measure, for sure.
Understanding.
Make sure they're internalizing the material.
All right. So we've hired our dream team.
Yeah.
We train them.
They're ready.
Time to unleash them on the world, right?
Not so fast. Roberge, he dedicates a whole chapter.
Okay.
To manufacturing helpful salespeople your buyers actually want to talk to.
Oh, that's interesting.
He argues that in today's world, buyers have more control than ever.
Right.
So salespeople need to transition from being pushy closers to becoming trusted advisors.
Yeah, that's a shift we're seeing everywhere.
Absolutely.
Buyers are doing their own research.
They can spot a sales pitch a mile away.
They really can.
Yeah.
So how do you create salespeople who are genuinely helpful?
So Roberge, he believes salespeople need to really understand their customer's world at HubSpot. He had new hires build their own websites and blogs.
Oh, wow.
So they could experience the challenges.
That their target market faced?
Exactly.
Yeah. That's hands-on empathy.
Hands-on empathy, yeah.
Walk in their customer shoes.
Walk in their shoes.
Really get that firsthand insight.
And Roberge.
Yeah.
He was also ahead of the curve when it came to social media.
I can imagine, yeah.
Yeah. He saw the potential for building thought leadership and trust.
Yeah.
Long before it was, you know, the thing to do.
So it's not just about cold calling and sending generic emails anymore.
It's about engaging in meaningful conversations.
Online. Sharing valuable content and positioning yourself as an expert.
Exactly.
This is so valuable for anyone in sales today.
I think so too.
Now let's shift to sales management.
Okay.
I'm really curious about Roberge's approach to coaching.
Yeah.
How does he apply that data-driven mindset?
So he calls it...
What's he call it?
Metrics-driven sales coaching.
Metrics-driven sales coaching. Okay.
Yeah. Instead of overwhelming salespeople with a ton of feedback, you use data to pinpoint those areas for improvement.
Okay.
And develop like a targeted coaching plan.
So it's about precision.
Prioritization.
Yes. Finding the biggest lever.
That one thing.
Focusing your energy there.
Exactly.
Okay.
So funnel metrics.
Like conversion rates.
Like conversion rates lead to opportunity ratios.
Mm-hmm.
Can really pinpoint where salespeople are falling short.
Okay, so for example, if a salesperson is working tons of leads.
Tons of leads.
But struggling to convert them into demos.
Yeah, what does that tell you?
That tells me maybe a weakness in prospecting.
Prospecting qualification, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
So instead of just saying, you need to close more deals.
Close more deals, yeah.
You're saying, let's look at your lead conversion rate.
Okay.
And figure out what's happening there.
I like that.
More specific.
More actionable.
Actionable, yeah.
Okay.
And you can even like peel back the onion with deeper metrics.
To get even more precise.
Even more precise.
Okay.
And then create a coaching plan for that specific skill deficiency.
It's like a personalized.
Personalized prescription.
Yeah, for sales success.
Exactly.
Did he have any other recommendations for effective coaching?
Oh, yeah. He stresses scheduling regular coaching sessions.
Right.
Reviewing those call recordings.
Yeah.
And providing consistent feedback. And support.
It's about creating that culture of continuous improvement.
Continuous improvement.
Yeah.
Giving them that support.
All right. Let's move on to compensation.
Ooh, compensation.
This is where things get tricky.
Right.
Everyone wants to feel like they're being rewarded fairly.
Fairly, for sure.
Through efforts.
Roberge, he actually believes that compensation plans are powerful tools for CEOs and sales leaders to drive strategy and align those incentives with business goals.
It's not just about throwing money at people.
No.
It's about being strategic.
Strategic.
I'm curious to hear how he approached this at HubSpot.
So HubSpot actually used 3 different compensation plans.
Okay.
Over its first 6 years.
Wow, 3 different plans.
3 different plans.
Okay.
Each one tailored to the company's growth stage.
Oh, interesting.
So they started with a hunting plan.
Hunting plan, okay.
All about acquiring new customers
okay.
as quickly as possible.
Makes sense.
Which is common
yeah.
for a young company.
Trying to gain traction.
Trying to gain traction, yeah.
Did they stick with that?
As HubSpot grew,
yeah.
they realized that
yeah.
that plan had some limitations.
It wasn't quite working.
Not quite working.
Yeah.
They needed to incentivize customer retention.
Okay.
So they shifted to a...
What did they shift to?
Customer success plan.
Customer success plan. Okay.
Which incorporated...
It incorporated.
Churn rate.
Oh, okay.
Into the comp structure.
So it wasn't just about closing deals.
Right.
It was also about keeping those customers happy.
Keeping them happy, yeah.
Long-term value.
Exactly.
Did that solve all their problems?
It was a big improvement.
Yeah.
But Roberge, he realized.
What did he realize?
It didn't fully address customer commitment.
Okay.
They wanted to encourage salespeople
yeah.
to close deals with longer contract terms.
Okay.
And higher upfront payments.
For more predictable revenue.
Yeah, exactly.
What did they do?
They rolled out the...
What they call it?
Customer commitment plan.
The customer commitment plan.
Yeah.
Okay.
Where salespeople earned higher commissions.
Okay.
For longer prepayment terms.
I see. 3 distinct plans.
3 plans.
Addressing specific needs.
So specific needs.
At different stages of growth.
Different stages, yeah.
No one size fits all.
No one size fits all.
I like that.
And Roberge, he actually gives us a framework.
Oh, okay.
For evaluating any compensation plan.
Okay, tell me about that.
Simple.
Fill the line.
Immediate.
Back.
Immediate. Okay.
So simple.
Oh, yeah. Means the plan's easy to understand.
Okay.
So salespeople clearly see
yeah.
how their actions lead to earning.
Okay.
Aligned. Mm. Means the plan's tied to your strategic objectives.
So they're rewarded for doing things that matter.
That matter. That move the needle.
Okay.
And immediate.
Yeah.
Means they see the rewards of their efforts quickly.
Makes sense.
So you're maximizing that impact.
This is a great checklist.
I think so too.
For any company
yeah.
designing their plan.
Absolutely.
Or evaluating it.
Yeah.
Okay. Did he have any other insights on compensation?
He really emphasized involving the sales team.
Oh.
In the design process.
So it's not just top down.
No. It's collaborative.
Collaborative, yeah.
And that creates buy-in from the team.
Right, because if they feel like they have a voice.
They feel heard.
Yeah.
They're going to be more motivated.
It also taps into their knowledge.
Absolutely.
They're the ones on the front lines.
They know what works. They know what kind of incentives would be most effective.
Okay. So we've talked about compensation.
Yeah.
How else did Roberge suggest motivating and energizing a sales team?
He believes in the power of sales contests.
Sales contests.
But he's very strategic about it.
Okay.
He's not just creating random competitions.
Okay.
He aligns them
with their
with a short-term behavior change.
Oh, interesting.
That you want to see.
So, for example, if you want to boost activity
yeah.
during a slow month.
Typically slow month.
You might create a contest around the number of calls made.
Number of calls, demos booked.
Okay.
Something like that.
Focusing everyone's attention
exactly.
on a specific goal.
Exactly.
Creates a sense of urgency.
It's much easier to change behavior.
For a short period.
For a short period.
Than to try and do it long term.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he actually recommends making
yeah.
them team-based.
Team-based contests.
Even instead of individual.
Instead of individual.
Why is that? It fosters collaboration.
Oh.
Camaraderie.
So they're working together.
Working together.
Yeah.
Towards a common goal.
Boosts morale.
Boosts morale.
Especially early on.
Especially when you're building that team.
Yeah.
Instead of pitting people against each other.
It's that shared sense of purpose.
Shared purpose. Yeah.
Achievement.
Exactly. And he also suggests keeping the contest visible.
Okay, so like...
Leaderboards.
Leaderboards, daily updates.
Daily updates.
Maybe some fun prizes.
Maybe some fun prizes.
Yeah.
Keep everyone motivated.
Yeah. He's got this down to a science.
He does. But one thing he cautions against...
What's that?
...is contest fever.
Contest fever. What's that?
Running too many contests dilutes their impact, leads to burnout.
Too much of a good thing.
Too much of a good thing.
Yeah.
You got to find that balance.
So use those contests strategically.
Strategically.
Okay, we've covered a lot.
We have.
But it seems like we're missing something.
What's that?
Lead generation.
Lead generation.
How do you get those potential customers?
Yeah, how do you fill that funnel?
Into the top of the funnel.
That's where Roberge's demand generation formula comes in.
Okay, let's generate some demand.
Let's do it.
All right.
So he starts by addressing this major shift that's happening in the sales and marketing landscape.
Okay, what is it?
Outbound marketing
is
becoming increasingly ineffective.
Outbound marketing, those cold calls.
Those cold calls.
Direct mail.
Direct mail, those impersonal email blasts.
Those email blasts, yeah.
Yeah.
Like spam.
It's like spam.
So consumers are savvier than ever.
More information at their fingertips.
Yeah. They don't want to be bombarded.
They don't want to be bombarded.
With these unwanted messages.
So Roberge, he advocates for a shift to...
To what?
Inbound marketing.
Inbound marketing.
Got it.
So you create valuable content and experiences.
Valuable content.
That attract customers to you.
Attract customers, yeah.
You're not chasing them down.
Yeah, you're not chasing them down.
Right, so creating high quality content.
High quality.
Is key to this approach.
It's a cornerstone.
So things like blog posts, ebooks, webinars, videos.
All of that.
That provide value.
To your target audience.
Not just any content.
No.
It's got to be relevant.
Relevant, informative.
Engaging.
Engaging, that's key.
Aligns with their buyer journey.
Exactly. So you might have content that...
Educates people.
Educates
people. Who are just becoming aware of their problem.
Exactly.
Content that helps them evaluate solutions.
Evaluate solutions.
Content that guides them towards that decision.
That final decision. Yeah.
So you're positioning yourself as a...
A trusted advisor.
A trusted advisor.
Right.
By addressing their needs at each stage.
At each stage.
Now it's important to be patient.
Oh, for sure.
With inbound marketing.
Inbound is a long game.
You're not going to see results overnight.
It's a marathon, not a sprint.
It's about building that trust and credibility.
Over time.
Does he offer any tips for actually managing this content creation?
Oh, he has a really interesting suggestion.
What is it?
Hire a journalist.
Hire a journalist.
A journalist.
Like a newspaper journalist.
Yeah, someone who writes for a newspaper or magazine.
Oh, wow.
He argues they have the skills.
They're trained.
Trained to research. To write.
To tell stories.
To tell compelling stories.
Yeah.
And with the decline of traditional media.
Right.
There's a huge pool of talent out there.
Oh, yeah. That could be a great fit.
A great fit.
For content creation roles.
Yeah.
That's really smart.
He also recommends forming a thought leadership committee.
Oh, what's that?
So that's made up of those subject matter experts.
From your own company.
Within the company.
Okay.
To make sure your content's aligned.
Okay.
And it resonates with your audience.
So you're tapping into...
Internal expertise.
Internal expertise.
You're leveraging that journalist's skill set...
To make it compelling.
To package it up.
Win-win for everyone.
I think so, too.
All right, so your content machine is humming along. You're engaging on social media.
Engaging.
Seeing a steady stream of inbound leads.
Inbound leads.
Yeah.
What's next?
Now we got to qualify.
Right, because not all leads are created equal.
Not all leads are equal.
Just because they downloaded an ebook?
Downloaded an ebook, yeah.
Doesn't mean they're ready to buy?
Doesn't mean they're ready.
Okay.
So Roberge, he emphasizes lead filtering and qualification.
Okay.
You got to figure out
who's
a tire kicker.
Who's a tire kicker?
And who's a serious buyer.
He warns against some common pitfalls.
He does.
Of lead scoring system.
Lead scoring, yeah.
Those systems that assign points.
Points, yeah.
Based on actions and demographics.
Exactly.
What are some issues he sees with those?
He says a lot of them are too complex.
Oh, okay.
And they don't accurately reflect the value of a lead.
I see.
They might overemphasize.
Like website visits?
Email opens.
Yeah.
But undervalue.
More meaningful engagement. Like requesting a demo.
Okay.
Contacting sales.
So it's not just about assigning those arbitrary points.
It's about understanding the context.
Yeah.
Of each lead's actions.
Okay.
And their level of engagement.
Does he have a better way?
He suggests a more holistic approach.
Yeah.
That focuses on the buyer's journey.
Okay.
Uses that qualification matrix.
To identify
the leads.
Yeah.
Most likely to convert.
Okay.
And this really ties back to sales and marketing alignment.
Oh, that classic struggle.
A classic struggle.
It seems like alignment is even more important with inbound leads.
Absolutely.
Why is that?
Because misalignment can lead to wasted time, wasted effort,
and
a whole lot of frustration.
Totally.
Imagine marketing generating a ton of leads that sales is just like...
Not interested in.
These are junk.
Yeah.
Or even worse.
What's worse?
Sales ignoring those valuable leads
that
marketing has carefully nurtured.
Oh, that's the worst.
It's a recipe for disaster.
So how did Roberge address this at HubSpot?
He implemented a...
What did he implement?
Service level agreement.
Service level agreement. What's that?
Or SLA for short.
SLA. Okay.
So it's essentially a contract between sales and marketing.
Okay.
Defines expectations and responsibilities.
For both sides.
For both sides.
Oh, okay. So what does it look like?
For example, marketing might agree
to
deliver a certain number of qualified leads each month.
Okay.
And in return, sales agrees.
To follow up on those leads?
To follow up.
Within a certain time frame.
Within a time frame, exactly.
So it's not just about the quantity of leads.
It's about the quality.
The quality, yeah.
Making sure those are leads.
That sales actually want.
And sales can actually work.
Work with, yeah.
And Roberge actually suggests going a step further.
Okay.
Assign a dollar value to each lead.
Oh, interesting.
Based on their stage in the buyer journey.
Makes sense.
So a lead.
That's further down the funnel.
Yeah, further down.
We're going to have a higher dollar value.
Higher dollar value.
Than someone who just downloaded like an ebook.
Just downloaded an ebook, yeah.
That's a great way to measure.
To measure the impact of marketing's efforts.
I'm sure they're focused on
generating
those high value leads.
Those high value leads, yeah.
This is a great way to
create a shared understanding.
Shared understanding.
Of the value.
Of each lead.
Of each lead, yeah.
Foster that collaboration.
Yeah, break down those silos.
Yeah, reduce that friction.
Between sales and marketing.
So did they have any mechanisms to like support this SLA?
Oh, yeah. They use daily reports.
Oh, okay.
To track progress.
To track progress. Okay.
Identify any issues.
So everyone stayed accountable.
Everyone's accountable.
This data-driven approach to sales and marketing alignment seems like a key factor.
For sure.
In HubSpot's growth.
Absolutely.
So now let's talk about technology.
Technology?
The sales tech stack.
There's no shortage of tools out there.
Oh, I know.
Promising to make sales teams more efficient, more effective.
But how do you know which ones are worth investing in?
That's the question.
Right.
And Roberge, he has a really strong opinion about this.
Yeah.
He believes sales technology should empower salespeople.
Okay.
Not burden them.
Make their lives easier.
Make their lives easier, not harder.
Not more complicated.
Exactly.
So what are his criteria?
Yeah. He asks two key questions.
Okay, what are they?
Number one, does it help salespeople sell faster?
Okay.
And number two, does it help them sell better?
I like that.
Sell faster, sell better.
Yeah.
So let's start with selling faster.
Okay.
Think back to that manual lead sourcing process.
10 clicks.
10 clicks.
For a single lead.
Not a good use of time.
Not a good use of time.
Yeah.
So technology
can automate that.
Can automate.
Yeah.
Pull in data from multiple sources.
Identify potential customers.
Who fit your ideal profile.
Ideal buyer profile.
This frees up salespeople to
focus on what matters.
Build relationships.
Build relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Close deals.
Okay.
Technology can also streamline.
What can it streamline?
Prospecting.
Okay.
Automating those email sequences.
Mm-hmm.
Personalizing messages.
Based on
behavior.
So instead of those generic blasts.
No more generic blasts.
You're sending targeted messages.
Targeted messages, yeah.
Tailored to their needs.
Tailored to their needs, exactly.
And it can automate follow-up.
So no hot leads slip through the cracks.
Right.
It's like having a
virtual assistant.
Virtual assistant, yeah.
Working in the background.
Constantly nurturing.
So salespeople can focus
on
high
value stuff.
Yeah, those high value activities.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's talk about sell better.
Sell better, all right.
How can technology improve the buying experience?
By capturing buyer context and making that readily available to salespeople.
So like demographics, interests, past behavior.
All of that.
All that good stuff.
That helps you understand their needs.
Yeah.
And personalize your approach.
Yeah.
So modern sales technology.
Yeah.
Pulls in data from everywhere.
From your website.
Your website.
Your CRM.
Your CRM, your email platform, even social media.
Oh, wow.
It's tracking all that information.
So you have all this knowledge.
The wealth of knowledge.
Before you even
to talk to them.
Talk to them. Wow.
Yeah.
You can see what pages they visited.
What pages they visited.
Content they downloaded. Emails they opened.
What they're saying about you on social media.
It's all about understanding their journey.
Understanding their journey, yeah.
Their preferences.
Their preferences, yeah.
So you can personalize.
Yes,
those interactions.
You can anticipate their questions.
Give them the right information at the right time.
At the right time.
Instead of that generic pitch.
Exactly.
So you can tailor your message.
To their needs.
To their pain points.
pain points, yeah.
Their interests.
Exactly.
Technology can also streamline the sales process.
Yeah, things like scheduling meetings.
Sending proposals.
Sending proposals, tracking deals.
Our deals.
All of that can be automated.
And for sales managers,
yeah,
it can give them
valuable insights.
Valuable insights.
Yeah, tracking those key metrics.
Highlighting areas that need attention.
Highlighting those areas.
So it's like a virtual coach.
A virtual coach.
Constantly analyzing the team's performance.
Analyzing.
Yeah.
Providing guidance.
This has been really insightful.
It has.
What stands out to you most?
About his approach to sales technology.
About Roberge's approach to sales technology.
We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, let us know.
And in the final part of our deep dive,
okay,
we'll explore his insights. Experimentation, the future of sales, and challenging the status quo.
I can't wait.
All right, so we've talked about hiring, training, technology, sales management.
Yeah, we've covered a lot.
But what about innovation?
Yeah.
Continuous improvement.
How do you keep a sales team ahead of the curve?
Robert, he talks about the importance of experimentation.
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 In sales.
In sales.
That's not a word you usually hear.
No, you think of like scientists in a lab.
Right, exactly.
But he believes that, you know,
yeah,
constantly testing new ideas and approaches.
Yeah.
It's essential for success.
In the ever-evolving world of sales.
Exactly, because things change so quickly.
So it's about that growth mindset, right?
Growth mindset, always improving.
But how do you do it in a structured way?
Yeah, you can't just randomly try things.
Right.
It has to be strategic.
Data-driven.
Data-driven, yeah.
Okay.
So Robert, he outlines a process
for
running these successful sales experiments.
All right.
And it starts with defining a clear goal.
Okay. What are you trying to achieve?
What are you trying to achieve?
Yeah.
And a measurable outcome.
How will you know if it worked?
How will you know? Yeah. So instead of saying, let's try something new.
Let's just mix it up.
You say, okay, we want to increase our conversion rate.
By
10%.
By testing.
A new prospecting script.
Okay, so you have a specific.
Hypothesis.
That you're testing.
Yeah, I like.
Once you have that, you got to design the experiment itself.
Okay.
How are you going to test that hypothesis?
Mm-hmm.
What data are you going to collect?
Okay.
How long will it run?
You're creating a roadmap?
You're creating a roadmap.
Yeah.
For your experiment.
And it has to be as efficient as possible.
Right. You don't want to waste resources.
You don't want to waste time. You don't want to waste money.
On something that's not going to work.
Exactly.
Who should lead these experiments?
That's a great question.
Someone who's passionate, right?
Passionate about the idea. Yeah.
Knowledgeable about the area you're testing.
Yeah. They got to know what they're doing.
Someone who has the time and resources to actually do it.
See it through.
Yeah.
Ideally, it's the person who came up with the idea.
Oh.
That creates ownership.
Ownership and motivation.
Motivation, yeah.
And Roberge also suggests assembling a team of top performers.
Why? Top performers.
He says, if you involve your best people, you're more likely to get a clear.
A clear what?
True negative.
Oh, okay.
If the experiment fails.
If your top performers can't make it work.
If they can't make it work.
It's probably not a good idea.
It's probably not a good idea.
That makes sense.
It's like testing a new product with your most loyal customers.
Okay.
They don't like it.
Nobody will.
It's probably not going to be a hit.
I like that analogy.
And then finally,
document
the results.
No matter what.
No matter what.
Whether it's successful.
Successful or not.
Gotta learn from it.
Learn from it.
Did he share any examples?
He did.
Of successful experiments at HubSpot?
Yeah, one of the most impactful ones
is
the HubSpot's
VAR program.
Well, yeah.
Value-added reseller.
Value-added reseller, okay.
So that's where you partner with other companies.
To sell your product.
To sell your product, yeah.
Got it.
And it all started with one of their early salespeople.
Okay.
Pete Caputa.
Pete Caputa.
Yeah, he was passionate about the idea.
Okay.
And he pitched it to Roberge.
And what did Roberge say?
Roberge didn't want to bet the farm right away.
So he said, let's test it.
Let's run an experiment.
Start small, scale up.
Exactly.
Based on the results.
So Pete, he set a goal.
What was his goal?
Sign up 5 new VARs.
Okay.
Get them to close.
5 deals.
5 deals.
In a quarter.
In a quarter.
Okay.
And he tracked everything.
His progress.
Documented his learnings.
Discipline.
Very disciplined.
Did it work?
It worked.
It worked.
He exceeded his goals.
Wow.
And the VAR program quickly became one of HubSpot's fastest growing sales channels.
Really?
Generated over $100 million in revenue.
Wow. That's incredible.
Just from that one little experiment.
A small experiment led to
big results.
Big results.
Driven by passion and data.
I love it.
Any other notable experiments?
Yeah. Were there any others?
Yeah. They also experimented with their qualifying matrix.
Okay, they started with BANT.
Started with BANT.
But it wasn't quite capturing
the nuances of their sales process.
So they created a new one.
They did. They created
Rivicold.
GPCT.
GPCT, what does that stand for?
So GPCT stands for
yeah.
goals, well, plans, challenges.
Trying to do a timeline.
So it's a more in-depth approach
okay.
to qualifying leads.
So you're going beyond just the surface level.
You're digging deeper. Really understanding their situation.
If there's a true fit.
If it's a good fit.
And they didn't just roll this out to everyone.
No, they ran an experiment.
They tested it.
With a group of top performers.
Hmm.
And they saw a big improvement in lead conversion rates.
Okay.
Salesperson, productivity,
mm-hmm.
even mm-hmm. customer success.
Oh.
So even when things are going well,
yeah.
there's always room for improvement.
There's always room for improvement.
Experimentation is key.
As we wrap up our deep dive,
yeah.
what stands out to you?
About Ruberge's book.
Yeah. What's the most important takeaway for our listeners?
I think it's his vision for the future of sales.
Okay.
He challenges that outdated perception
of
salespeople.
He has like pushy and manipulative.
Pushy, manipulative. Yeah.
Yeah.
He believes that selling can be a force for good.
It can be a force for good.
Yeah. It should be about helping buyers.
Helping buyers.
Not just closing deals.
It's about building relationships.
Building relationships. Yeah.
Based on trust and value.
Based on trust.
Becoming a trusted advisor.
Trusted advisor, not a pushy salesperson.
Yeah.
And he's optimistic about, you know,
yeah.
the emergence of more formal sales education programs.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, he thinks these programs can teach these skills.
These new mindsets.
These mindsets, yes.
Help people succeed.
In today's world.
Yeah, in this buyer-driven world that we live in.
Exactly.
This deep dive has been packed.
It has.
With so many actionable insights.
So many
inspiring stories.
Inspiring stories.
A fresh perspective on sales.
Absolutely.
What will you do differently?
In your own approach to sales.
Yeah. After hearing all of this.
After exploring these ideas.
Yeah.
Robidigi's journey with HubSpot
yeah.
shows us that with the right mindset.
Yeah.
The right processes.
Yeah.
A willingness to experiment.
Yeah.
Anyone can build a truly remarkable sales organization.
That's a great takeaway.
It is.
Thanks for joining us.
Of course.
For this deep dive into the sales acceleration formula.
Really enjoyed it.
Me too. Yes. And we hope you found these insights valuable.
I hope so.
Until next time, keep learning, keep growing, keep crushing those sales goals.
We'll see you then.